It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hate to throw around the term must win, but it does apply tonight. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Thursday night football, we got a good one.
Yeah.
Somebody wake up Al. You got the Cincinnati Bengals at the Ravens. Oh, Al's the best.
Yeah, Al will have lots of steak. Where is this game? It's in Baltimore. What is the best steakhouse in Baltimore?
I'm sure he knows it well.
Save a seat for Al Michaels.
Yeah, so tonight you get the Cincinnati Bengals coming to the Ravens. You guys will remember just a few short weeks ago, this was a shootout of a game that went to overtime where Lamar Jackson actually fumbled the ball in overtime and the Ravens still went on to win. It is rare that you get... that you make that kind of mistake and you still win. This is the, you know, bit of a charmed existence right now for the Ravens because they seem like one of the best teams and they're playing like one of the best teams in the NFL. Meanwhile, the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, got off to the slow start trying to dig themselves out of this hole, Perloff. Joe Burrow is actually playing amazing right now, but they're vulnerable still. They're 4-5, and I ask you if this is a must win.
100% the problem is, you know, they blew these games early. Like the, remember they fumbled a snap on Evan McPherson, who never misses, missed a field goal to win the game. It was a creative loss to the Ravens. That was the one they probably should have gotten because it was in Cincinnati. Now they're in a real tough spot because Baltimore is kind of firing on all cylinders and Cincinnati's hurt. I mean, T. Higgins will not be there probably. They haven't had Orlando Brown in the lineup, their left tackle. So they had a real tough spot. Unfortunately, like if you look at their schedule, they would fall to what, 4-6, 7. If they, that means they can't. They really have to run the table because 10-7 may or may not get you in the AFC, and that's just too hard of an assignment, especially when guys are falling left and right. Like they can't stay healthy.
The one thing that they have going for them is it's just 1-1 in the division, right?
But so, they're not going to win the division, though.
Well, do you really think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to stay at the top of the table?
I think the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in football. If they lose tonight, then there's no way they catch the Ravens because that's two losses.
Yeah,
so, no, I think they're best. No, I already think they're out of the AFC North. I think the Ravens are winning this division.
So this is the other thing about Cincinnati. We can talk about how great Burrow is, and that's true. They have not beaten a good team. The wins they had this year are at Carolina, at the New York Giants, and at Cleveland, and then, at Cleveland, home for Las Vegas.
Yeah.
This is not inspiring here.
No, but they actually played their two best games against the Chiefs and the Ravens. That team looked great. But that's not
defense,
this team.
Not so much, but
what's that?
Defense not so great.
No,
defense is terrible. But I mean, they outplayed Kansas City, I think, and then they outplayed the Ravens. They you know, they just had untimely mistakes. But that team is gone. Like they've been hurt a lot since then.
Really surprised that they didn't add anybody on the defense at the deadline. And it's funny because I was talking to former league MVP Boomer Esiason before the show, and obviously is a legend in Cincinnati and went to the Super Bowl. And what an MVP as a member of the Bengals. And I said, man, I'm really surprised they didn't add anyone at the deadline. He goes, that's just not what they do.
People thought they were going to trade Trey Hendrickson.
And that's ridiculous because he's their best defensive player.
He's their only defensive player. He's actually a defensive player of the year candidate now.
See, that's like the kind of thing that, and listen, Boomer loves the Bengals. He's not making this criticism. I am, which is this has got to be so frustrating because what he said is probably how a lot of people think. Which is, there's no way the Bengals were adding anyone at the deadline. Why not? You have Joe Burrow. You're in the window here. Like, you have this all-time quarterback. You don't feel the same urgency that the Bills do, the same urgency as the Ravens, the same urgency as the Steelers. All these other teams, the freaking Kansas City Chiefs have added five players since the beginning of the year. And I just don't feel like the urgency is there from Cincinnati. I know they made phone calls, but nothing ever came to fruition.
Have you ever watched the NFL before the year 2020? This is the Cincinnati Bengals we're talking about. What do you mean, why not?
Because you can't be Mickey Mouse when you've got Joe Burrow.
But you're a Cincinnati Bengals. All of a sudden, they're going to become a completely different franchise than they've been for 60 years?
Well, we thought so because they gave Burrow this huge contract, and that was, you know, they made him sweat a little bit, but they got it done. They will tell you over and over again they're going to pay Ja'Marr Chase.
Right.
So they're telling, I think they're being honest about that.
Yeah, of course they're going to pay Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay, so you are actually shelling out money for guys. Like, why not go the extra mile? I'm not asking you to trade second round picks. Yeah. You didn't have to bring in Davante Adams. I'm just saying.
Well, they haven't paid Chase yet, and I guess they're not paying Hendrickson what he wants. So actually, no. I mean, you saw that interview with Mike Brown earlier in the year. It's like, it's not our style to pay. I'm like, dude.
That works. Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, he's the poorest owner in the league, right?
It's professional football, though.
Yeah, but they're the poorest franchise, and like they had this brief flurry where they were paying up for guys, and it feels like he's lost interest in that.
Then you're gonna waste Joe Burrow.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
But Burrow might just be good enough that he can overcome all that.
I think you saw that when they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Joe Burrow happens to be magical, so that helps him. But
can you imagine, though, you go to back-to-back AFC, you go to the Super Bowl, and by extension, back-to-back AFC championship games where you could have had the second one absolutely won, except for a, you know, boneheaded defensive play where a guy pushes Patrick Mahomes out of bounds, puts the Chiefs closer, and they end up winning the game. But if there is a team, we joke about Jerry Jones being all in, the Bengals are the ones who should be all in. Like, this is the time when you actually do take advantage of this. Not, oh, well, we paid Joe Burrow, so now we can't do anything anymore.
This
is silly.
This is not how the Bengals have ever operated or will ever operate. I mean, this is a team that didn't have a scouting department until the mid-2000s. So that's not happening. I'm sorry. I don't know what
to tell you. Getting back to another Super Bowl.
That's not true either because you have Joe Burrow. They do draft and develop. So they're just not going to go. They're, you know, I guess they traded for Hendrickson, but generally they're not going to bring in guys from the outside. They're not going to be like the Rams with Stafford.
Okay. So if you're drafting and developing guys, why aren't you better?
Well,
these are the guys you've been drafting and developing.
I mean, listen, they're 4-5 this year without T. Higgins for most of the season. Orlando Brown is hurt. Zach Moss is hurt. They have other linemen hurt. Like, basically, they blew a couple games early on sort of fluky plays. They never show up for the beginning of the season, and they're just so confident we can go on a late-season run.
How's that looking?
Well, you say, why aren't they better? Like, this is exactly what happened. I just think this year, the other thing is Joe Burrow has had trouble staying healthy.
That's true, but he's healthy now. And the thing is we accept this.
Yeah, of course.
These things from the Bengals that other fan bases and other teams would never get the luxury of accepting.
Right.
Like, you know, it became a massive story in Philadelphia for a while that the Eagles couldn't score in the first quarter.
Right.
And that's starting games off. We just accept that the Cincinnati Bengals can start a season 0-3 and somehow they've got the league exactly where they want them.
Of course.
It's completely blown up in their faces. And the same thing here. Like, I think that they... Listen, if you want another shot at a Super Bowl, at some point you have to be aggressive. The Chiefs do it. The Bills are trying. The Ravens are trying. You can't just say we have Joe Burrow. We're going to get there. By the way, T. Higgins being ticked off or whatever about his contract is their own fault.
Yeah, but I'm not disagreeing with any of that, but none of that, what you're saying, is going to happen, Maggie. That's just not how the Cincinnati Bengals operate, and we all know that. Like, they're not going to be, all of a sudden, the Kansas City Chiefs and make four deadline moves to bring guys. I'd like to see if they ever done anything like that. I mean, you have to look at the history of this team.
Yeah, but doesn't it I know they've had number one overall picks before and Carson Palmer and guys like that, but doesn't it feel like you've got, when he's playing well, there are people who believe that he's almost as good or better than Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
You have almost the consensus, besides Lamar, I guess, Lamar and Patrick Mahomes, you have the consensus two or third best quarterback in the league.
I totally agree with you. Absolutely. But if, say 2 weeks ago, the Cincinnati Bengals, we came in and read the headline, Cincinnati Bengals trade for DeAndre Hopkins. Everyone who's ever watched the NFL would be like, what? That never, ever happened. It just doesn't happen. It's not in the cards. It's not how they operate. It's not going to happen in the future. It's not happening now. Like, honestly, if you're a Bengals fan, you're probably relieved today because they did not trade anybody away, let alone bring in. They were not bringing anyone in. They weren't even in the rumor mill for anyone.
855-212-4227. And then on top of that, I wonder how the sort of feeling is in the organization, too. Earlier in the season, preseason actually, was it Trey Wingo who came on the show and said he had heard from a reliable source that the vibes were really off in Cincinnati?
Yeah.
I can't imagine having a losing record into week 10 is going to help that.
Well, I think there's two contract situations, Trey Hendrickson and T. Higgins. You know, it's funny.
And Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, yeah. I think Hendrickson could get the sack record this year too, which would make it all the more interesting. But that's why it's such a huge game tonight. It's just a shame because I really want to see T. Higgins out there. I know it's just one player, but when it's so obvious how you cover the Bengals, right? I mean, you just put three guys on Ja'Marr Chase or whatever. You bracket him. Like, how else are the Bengals going to keep up with Baltimore's offense?
Yoshivash?
Yeah, I mean, Yoshivash is a good possession receiver, but you don't have to. I mean, I'm being serious. Like, there's no 41-38 game this time, I don't think. I mean, let's look at the other side for 1 second. The Ravens offense, they're the number one offense in the league, and how on earth does a defense stop them? There's just no way. This is generational, what we're seeing. So I think if you're Joe Burrow, you better have the game of your life. Otherwise, you're in big trouble.
855-212-4227. He can have the game of his life. He's had these great games, and it hasn't mattered. I just find it unforgivable when organizations have the quarterback in their prime, bringing back basically everybody from the year before, and then just decide, well, this is the line, and we're not going over it. And not understanding how special it is and what you have. And they obviously understand, but that's got to be so frustrating because there's just never there's not an excuse if Burrow's healthy that they would not make the playoffs, and I bet they're not.
Well, I think there is an excuse. I mean, T. Higgins is hurt.
Come on.
He's
not their number one receiver, and your quarterback is fine.
Come on. If you think you had a healthy T. Higgins coming this year, you don't think things would be different?
I mean, cry me a river for guys who have lost wide receivers. And by the way, receivers at the deadline were like the thing. You could have gotten guys, maybe not Amari Cooper, they might not trade in the division, but you could have gotten some help for fifth rounders, sixth rounders. That's not a high price to pay.
For most of those receivers stink. Like the ghost of Mike Williams, that was going to help there.
Deontay Johnson wasn't available?
I don't know. Is Deontay Johnson going to do anything in Baltimore? I'm not sure. That's not T. Higgins. T. Higgins is basically a number one that you have the luxury of being your number two. He's legit 1A wide receiver in this NFL.
But they clearly don't think enough of him to pay him.
This is the Bengals after all.
Oh, my God.
But that being said, I don't think you're going to kill the Bengals this year if they don't do anything. It's not – they didn't pay these guys. They're not all in. I think they have to figure out how do we sustain this success. That doesn't mean like you can't pay two receivers $35 million a year.
Okay. I ask you this question, and I only ask it because I've actually already seen this once. I'm going to give you a hypothetical here, and let's take out Joe Burrow's good guy-ness, right? Like he's from Ohio, and he would obviously want to play for, an Ohio team, but let's just take that away. Let's just say this is cold, hard business. If you're taking all the franchise quarterbacks who play in the AFC, who are awesome right now, right? So you know who we're talking about. We're talking about Mahomes. We're talking about Lamar, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. We're talking about...
Maybe Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert. I'm not putting Trevor Lawrence in that group right now. Just because he got paid doesn't mean he's there. And I'm not putting Tua in there either. I'm talking about the highest end quarterbacks in the AFC. If any of them... We're going to demand a trade
bums
away from their team because they feel like they're not getting the support they need to try to win Super Bowls. Wouldn't Joe Burrow be at the top of the list? Again, take the good guy-ness away. Take his connection to Ohio away. He would be the guy who would ask for a trade. And, I don't know, Carson Palmer might tell him do it. Because he did, and he got out of there, and it was messy, and it was weird. But you know what? He got himself out of there.
I'd be very surprised if that happened.
Again, Joe Burrow's a good dude.
Too, I know.
I don't know if he would want to seem like he was turning his back on his hometown team. But if you're not going to spend, and if you're not going to give him everything, and you're going to wave the white flag in a season where he's healthy, you're sunk.
Why? Where would he want to go? I mean, what's a better situation than Zach Taylor and Ja'Marr Chase? He's not leaving that.
Not enough. He's got Zach Taylor and Ja'Marr Chase right now, and they're under 500, and they're playing for their season tonight.
Yeah, but he's having an MVP-type season. Like, I think, he's not going to want to go to Dallas. Like, that would be
not
career
Dallas.
Suicide.
Dallas is
He's not going to go to the Giants.
Too much of a circus.
Like, I think he likes this system, and he likes his offense. He likes Ja'Marr Chase.
I bet he likes winning more.
No one
wants Mahomes to keep owning.
Tell me a team that would be a better situation for him. Like, do the Giants would be a disaster? The Cowboys would be a disaster. The Panthers would be the worst ever. Like, he's not leaving. Like, I don't know where you think he's going. And it doesn't strike me as a Carson Palmer situation. Palmer was so mad, and Burrow doesn't seem mad at the franchise at all.
I'm not saying he's going to ask for the trade tomorrow. I'm just saying, of all the those guys who are trying to take down Mahomes, who I do also you think Burrow, feels like they're getting the most support?
I think Burrow thinks he's close. Because, like, this there is a fluky element to this year, you have to admit. Like, they really should have won that Kansas City game. It was 4th and 16.
No, I know.
They had him pinned. I mean, this is really, like, I don't want to say bad luck, but I think they think we're better than Kansas City. They walked away from that game. And they definitely should have won the Baltimore game. There was about 4 opportunities they had to put that game away, and they didn't. Now they had some injuries. They really, like, were not full strength against the Eagles. I think he thinks he's close. And I think he's right.
What happened against the Patriots? And what happened against the Commanders? And what happened against, I mean, good
I'm just
teams
thinking, like,
don't lose those games.
Yeah, but I think he thinks, like, yeah, this year might not be in the cards, but, like, we're gonna be dangerous next year. I think he thinks he could win the Super Bowl here. And I think he's right.
855-212-4227. All right, there you go. A little of what's on the table for tonight's matchup. You got Cincinnati going to the Ravens. I love it. I generally don't like division matchups on a Thursday. I feel like it's a little unfair to guys, but Joe Burrow actually was saying yesterday it's a little easier because they know the Baltimore defense so well. Kind of helps on a short week.
Are you worried about a blowout? That's my only concern.
Oh my God.
It's a big spread, right?
It was waffling between 6 and 6.5.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only concern that you'd be Cincinnati started out good against the Eagles, then they just got the doors blown off because their defense can't stop anybody. So that's a little concern that'll be out of control.
We'll make a pick for this game a little bit later on. 855-212-4227. Lots more to do, including, there might be a mutiny happening on one team, and we're barely into the season. We'll tell you what we mean next. MMP.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. You know, Manny is over on the other side of the glass right now, and I love having him here. But there are days where I miss Pete Bilotti Jr., who used to run the board. I'm being dead serious. There are a few things that I was very entertained by about Pete, but number one, I think, was his opinion of Lakers coach J.J. Redick. It was a guaranteed, if you're in a bad mood, hey, Pete, what do you think of the J.J. Redick LeBron James wine podcast? He hated that more than anyone has ever hated anything in the history of the world.
You know, we never asked, like, did J.J. Redick do something to your family? Like, some kind of affront? Did he, you know?
Well, I mean, he's probably the smuggest man in the history of mankind.
You're right.
That's what Pete was responding to. Or he comes
that's
off
probably
that
not
way.
True.
I don't know. Yeah, fact.
Top 5.
But I don't know J.J. Redick at all. But he to some people, he comes off as quite smug. You know, Duke, you know, smarter than you.
I don't think you have to run down the laundry list. Yeah, yeah. We all get it.
We get it.
Yeah. No,
J.J.
We know what you're
Do you remember how
about?
Much people hated J.J. at Duke? Maggie, dude, you were...
Yes, I was in
was
college
incredible.
Also at that time.
That was incredible.
Yeah. You know, yeah. But...
When was that, 1982?
Hey. Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
What's Christian Leitner?
I am actually a lot younger than I appear. No, I have no idea.
I am, by the way, for the record.
Oh, gosh, we forgot about that. Somebody thought Bogus was like 60. Who was it? Big Friendly?
Yes, it was Big Friendly. I believe it was Big Friendly.
He's like, yeah, I'm older than all you guys, well, except for Bogus. I was like, oh,
I'm like, Bogus, I don't think he's the oldest one here.
I'm not the oldest person in the room. That's all I'm going to say.
Listen, we don't have to count. Yeah. It's funny because we love Big Friendly, but obviously he doesn't watch the show, which are on YouTube and Twitch and on Twitter. But you know, he doesn't watch it because it'd be obvious that you're not 60.
Oh, he does watch. He's in the chat.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, I'll be seeing him.
I'm sorry, Bogus.
No, I just think it's your negative attitude that Big Friendly, like... Yeah, if you were just more positive, then maybe...
That's what it is.
But actually, Pete Bilotti is actually quite young, but he acts like the old man in the Muppets. Like, he just was getting angry.
No, there is something about JJ that really just rubs him the wrong way, but more than the average person.
Yeah, but there are a lot of things that rub Pete the wrong way, but JJ, like, oh, God, did that guy drive him nuts?
He really did.
And so, I think a lot of people are rooting against JJ. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and his own team might be rooting against him after this. Wouldn't be surprised if maybe there's a mutiny on the way. So last night, the
almost 40 years old.
Lakers at the end of a 5-game road trip find themselves in Memphis.
It maybe says a lot about everyone else
lose,
on the team.
And he was asked
what
whether
JJ
or not
say
the lack
the
of effort. If you address the lack of effort on the other guys, here's Redick.
JJ, you're talking a lot about two or three guys, getting them to put in the effort. You talked a lot about wanting to play hard and LeBron being the guy that played hard in tonight's game. How do you address that with the team? What's your philosophy for approaching that?
I just did.
Oh. Whew. Do they fear J.J. Redick?
I really don't give a
Wait, who they? The players or the media?
The players. No, not the media. The players. Like, if he goes in there and rips them all a new one because they weren't playing hard, do you think we actually see people change their behavior? Like, do they fear him?
Oh, I don't know. Is that a thing in the NBA anymore where people fear coaches? That sounds crazy.
Okay, or do they respect them, I guess? How do you want to put it?
They're professionals. They should be self-motivated. That's what really my thought. Like, I don't know. To me, my takeaway was that I was like, oh my God, like he is just like, he's not even going to try to hide the fact that he is just there to be a LeBron enthusiast. Like, he's basically LeBron's guy. So I wonder what, maybe the rest of the guys think, oh, well, he's just LeBron's handpicked coach. Like, this is all about LeBron. What do we care what he says?
Have those players seen the NBA? They are in the NBA. What coach is not there just to prop? And by the way, LeBron doesn't need that. He actually is playing hard. So he didn't deserve any criticism last night.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're afraid of J.J. Redick. I mean, like, who are we talking about? Like, Rui Hachimura and what are the guys that are disappointed? I can't even remember.
D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, I think this is the problem.
Well, like, Russell.
None of those guys have a standing to be disappointed in J.J. Redick.
Yeah, I mean, D'Angelo Russell has been a problem since he got in the NBA. Like, I don't think there's no coach who can fix his effort level. It's always been inconsistent. I think it's a roster construction just as much as a coach. The answer to your question, no, I don't think they fear J.J. Redick. Why would they? First of all, he's very young. He's never won anything. Who do you fear? Popovich?
No, and unfortunately, he's dealing with some bad medical stuff right now. Yeah. But I think, well, it's just a question. Yeah. So JJ said he just addressed it, and he sounded kind of agitated. So it makes me think that he probably tore into them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they let up 131 points last night.
So do you think it does anything? Does it change their behavior?
No, definitely not.
I agree with Pearl. I think he nails on the head with the roster construction. Because you look at the roster, the only way you can really make anybody fear a coach is to threaten their minutes. Who on this Laker bench is getting more minutes because they're going to play hard? Bronny James? Bronny James got in the game last night because that's how bad this game was. I'm looking at Gabe Vincent, Max Christie. Like, you're not threatening D'Angelo Russell with playing time when you got Max Christie behind him. Like, they're not a good team. So, like, when you talk about fear, these guys have make so much money. The only thing they care about is getting to the next contract and getting more money.
Yeah.
The only way to address that and affect that is to cut their playing time. They're just not even good enough players on this team to where he's going to play worse guys who are going to play hard. It's just not reality.
But they've been trying to cobble together this team when all this cap space goes to LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like, it's not even their fault. Like, it would be hard. Like, how are they going to build a good team? EJ, you asked that question. They've not had the money to buy, like, the right players around them.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. But they don't want D'Angelo Russell there.
Okay, but you could talk about roster construction and all that. He's talking about effort. That's something that's always under your control. It's not like these guys are bad. They're not bad players.
But he's not going to get it from D'Angelo Russell. Like, they don't.
Okay, well,
and they
not
don't
just
want
about one person, though.
I disagree with you. I think it's like they don't. He's trying something here, but he's not going to get it because that's not like the team they built. They did not build a team that was going to come out and really have like a gangbusters effort.
It's not just Russell. I mean, you're going to get effort from Jackson Hayes. That guy's a knucklehead. You want to talk about Cam Reddish? That guy's a knucklehead.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they got him. Like, the other teams gave up on those guys.
Exactly. Those guys are playing 30 minutes a night. Those guys have effort problems everywhere they've been.
Okay, then how do other teams pay superstars and also field a good team? It happens.
Yeah, no, and I think that there's one in New York that has shown that they can do that, right? Like, you're picking up these smaller, lower-tier guys, maybe don't have much talent, but you're developing them, right? You're taking time on them. Like, it's not going to be an overnight fix. The Lakers have been looking for an overnight fix for years. So they're taking these guys who are quote-unquote talented but troubled and thinking that they're going to come to L.A., of all places, and change and become the lunch pail hard hat guys. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, no, but they had to. We cover this every offseason. Like, the Lakers don't want D'Angelo Russell, but they're stuck. Like, we know because of the finances of LeBron and AD. Like, yeah, of course they want to bring in the guys that you talk about, the Knicks. The guys that Knicks are bringing in, the Lakers can't afford any of those guys. They couldn't trade for Mikal Bridges. Like, that's out of the question.
Okay, but again, other teams have, like, superstars who they pay and then they fill in with role players
who are better.
I was going to say, like, the Denver Nuggets. Suns are better this year.
I mean, the Suns, come on. That's exactly the same model. Like, do you think the Suns want these guys after their big three? Like,
your 76ers are doing this model right now and hoping it works.
And the Suns are 6-1.
The Boston Celtics, who had to make a tough decision of getting rid of Marcus Smart, but still had to pay Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum at the very tippity top of the market, and everyone thinks they're going to go back to back. So, yeah, I understand LeBron's 40, but he is still playing hard. Anthony Davis wasn't playing last night. He's got a heel issue. But there are because you're paying two people, you can't possibly win. That's the freaking league.
Well, okay, what if the Suns won?
Well, nothing. But
what have the Sixers won? Nothing. And what did the Nuggets had to give up KCP, and what did they win after that? Nothing. Like, honestly, like, the salary cap is real, and the Lakers are in a worse spot than all those teams combined. Like, they've had to, like, they've gone into this offseason, like, how are we going to build one more champion around LeBron? Well, we have the mid-level exception. You know, like, that's not, LeBron needs a better team around him now. We talk about this, remember what we did all offseason? Like, how are we going to get LeBron help? There's never an answer.
I think they were so focused on Bronny.
This is a G League roster, to some extent. I mean, Dalton Connect.
Bronny's still there.
I thought Dalton Connect would be the man. I might have been wrong.
Maybe a reason why he dropped.
A little early.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, he's a rookie. They can't.
Right. Like, they're very young. Like, they don't have a lot of talent around LeBron right now.
Christian Coloco got 13 minutes last night. Max Christie 19 minutes. Jackson
Hayes. Kaylee Cuoco.
I mean, somehow the Miami Heat took. Yeah, she's awesome at the four.
Yeah, and Harley Quinn.
Bazinga. Somehow Gabe Vincent and those guys, how did they even get to the Lakers? Because they were on a finals team in Miami.
Yeah, and Gabe Vincent's knee disintegrated the second he got to
that
the Lakers.
That is true. Bogish has headlines for us. We'll stop yakety-yakking about the Lakers.
Headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. Calling all boobs. There hasn't been a three-peat in men's college basketball in over 50 years. That's the history UConn is trying to change.
McNeely's three. Good. That's a quick hitter for a triple. And UConn leads 74-42. A little celebration going on for the Huskies.
Mike Crispino from Learfield, the third-ranked Huskies, opening their season with a 92-56 thrashing of Sacred Heart. Highly touted freshman Liam McNeely debuting with 18 points and 10 boards. Alex Caravan threw in 20 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, and 7 blocks. But nobody had the night that Creighton big Ryan Kalkbrenner did.
Kalkbrenner, it's been his night! Unforgettable!
49 wow. points on FS1. The 15th-ranked Blue Jays needed all of them, only beating UT Rio Grande Valley 99-86. Those 49 points, the second most in program history. And Kalkbrenner went 20 of 22 from the floor, the best shooting percentage on that many attempts since Bill Walton was 21-22 in the 73 national title game.
Oh, quick question, Bogus. I know I consider you a college basketball expert.
Thank you.
That guy's been around for 100 years. Where has this player been?
I mean, think always at Creighton.
Yeah, I know, but how has he scored 50 points a game? I've seen him at every tournament for years. Like, he's never been that kind of offensive.
He's like 24 years old.
I was going to say, when you're older than everybody.
Is this like, remember, like Luka Garza, like an old big man who's just going to dominate this year?
Yeah, he's pretty thin, so I don't know if like the Garza-Zach Edey comparison is not complete, but also, with all due respect to the Vaqueros, he was playing UT Rio Grande Valley last night, so I think the matchup really fit the occasion.
I saw the highlight. I'm like, oh, that guy. I remember him from last March.
He's a Big East preseason player of the year.
Wow. Who is the guy you pick for your guy of the year?
VJ Edgecombe, who almost killed Mark Few's son.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I saw that highlight.
I saw that highlight, too.
VJ, did you tweet about that?
I didn't. Maybe. I don't know if I did. But that was wild.
Somebody said this is nepotism gone wrong.
I think it's nepotism gone right.
Because they put Mark Few, the coach at Gonzaga, his son gets into the game. I don't know if his son is actually any good.
He's not.
Trust me. I've watched every Gonzaga game.
That was a resounding. That guy just got dunked on again. So they put him into the game. And Bogus's guy of the year, I mean, just yam.
Like, almost Vince Carter, like Frederick Weissed him.
I thought the rim was going to come off the backboard. It was violent.
He looked offended that Mark Few's son was under the rim.
Yeah.
Wait, an area code of him.
EJ, I know you don't like nepotism, but come on. Like, if you're a big-time college coach, you can't put your son at the end of the bench. Everybody's. That's a tradition as old as time.
I don't mind that. He's a walk-on. It's just funny.
It was funny, yes.
Yeah, no, I love that kid because he's always on the bench doing weird stuff. Like, he's the vibes guy. Like, everybody needs a vibes guy.
And
Hurley's kid who gets in at the end of every championship they win.
That was one of the most entertaining parts of UConn was Dan Hurley's kid. Like, the games weren't close, so we had to watch for his son to get in at the end.
My favorite thing about that in college, especially because it's the closest thing to, like, I think a high school basketball experience in America. Yep. I think everyone knows that there is the guy at the end of the bench who probably shouldn't be on the team, but he's a vibes guy. He works hard in practice, you know.
Gets team GPA up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And everyone wants to see him get in the game at the end and hopefully get a shot. And so to see that go so horribly wrong, because Scott Drew is just like, whatever, we need the minutes to leave my number one top five pick out there. And for that to go that way, I think every high school basketball player in America could relate to that.
I'm a former bench warmer. This is, to me, the last 2 minutes of the game are the most fascinating. I'm like, fire up that shot, guy. This is your chance. Just shoot.
Did you see the clip, the post-game press conference? It's Few and like three players, and somebody asked him about his son getting dunked on, and all three players basically crawled onto the table. They wanted no part of the question. They were laughing so hard.
Those guys had the best games of their careers, and that was the moment that they just were like, I can't even be serious right now.
I remember one high school game. I came in. There was a D1 kid who was like 6'8 on the other team, and they were killing us, as you'd expect. So bench warming time. Perloff, get in there. I'm like, that kid's eyes lit up. Like, oh, I am gonna dunk on this slow guy like you've never seen before. And he proceeded to. He didn't dunk on me. I fouled him.
You want to get the foul?
Smart foul.
Now, that's a risk of being a bench warmer. You might get dunked on like that, Mag. It's not a fun place to be.
What's more embarrassing in sports, getting dunked on or getting trucked in football?
Oh, like a Derrick Henry stiff arm?
Yeah, just getting run over.
Baptized.
Or a stiff arm. Like, they're both rough.
And put it on the pole.
But if you had a story of, like, when I was in high school, Ron Artest played in my high school gym. If I had a story of Ron Artest dunking on
that'd
me,
be cool.
I would tell it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't tell the story of me getting face planted by some stud running back.
Yeah, because you'd be eating all your meals through a straw.
That too. Yeah, I couldn't tell the story.
And likely a family member was visiting you to like pet your arm.
One of my three top stories is Kobe dunking on me. I was super proud of that.
Yeah.
And that was like, there's no shame in getting dunked on by Ron Artest or Kobe Bryant.
It's funny because Kobe was 8 years old.
Yeah, probably. Or VJ Edgecombe. What's this guy's name?
Yeah, VJ Edgecombe.
What is his name?
VJ Edgecombe. You should know him. He's going to be like a top five, top eight pick next year. I'm looking at EJ
again,
for confirmation.
I can't wait until the
top
combine.
Top lottery guy.
When Perloff's like, you guys know this guy, VJ Edgecombe?
This one time he dunked on Mark Few's kid.
I'm not like, he dunked on this little guy.
And what's the guy who scored a bunch of points last night's name?
Yes.
Ryan Kalkbrenner.
George Steinbrenner.
Best executive.
They dug him up.
I mean, come on. College basketball.
Sorry.
We're supposed to be experts on a sports talk radio show. Come on. The sport starts in February, except for the occasional highlight. We all know this.
I'm trying to go to the Gonzaga UConn game in December.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. You'll get a ticket.
MSG.
Yeah, you'll get a ticket.
You see those prices? I don't know. Ticketmaster.
Let me get to Atlanta, where the New York hate was strong last night. This is Hawks radio voice Steve Holman.
Zach's second is short. Rebound. Hey, Trae Young has it. Trae gets fouled by the great Jalen Brunson. Whoa, Brunson has been upset all night. Dyson Daniels has shut him down. And now the foul. Brunson complaining to the official. Who do you know? I'm Jalen Brunson.
Steve hates
funny.
Brunson like Pete hates JJ Redick.
Who Pete his coffee, bro? Why do the Knicks? Why do we live rent free in Atlanta's head? You know, Trae Young is 6-14 in his career against the Knicks.
Oh, glad you mentioned Trae Young. Here he is post game after this 121-116 win.
I hope these New York fans find their way to the exit real quick.
You're 6-14, bro.
Boo! Take y'all ass home.
I'm sorry, guys. That's funny. And by the way, who lives rent-free in whose head? I was once at a Yankee game where a bleep Trae Young chant broke out. A Yankee game.
The best thing that ever happened to Trae Young's career was associating himself with the Knicks.
It also happened 3 years ago.
Well,
something with your career, bro.
Guys, this is hilarious.
Because it's so illogical.
It's hilarious because he's so unaware. Brother, have some self-awareness.
Well, he beat you guys in the playoffs. So
3 years ago.
I know, but again, he did. So it's also, a little bit of indictment, though, that so many Knicks fans were at a Hawks game.
Yep.
It's indictment on the Knicks. Oh, you mean the Hawks fans?
No, they're at home. This is in Atlanta. So he's
that
like,
always
boo,
happens, though.
Take your asses home. Like, this wasn't at the Garden.
No. State Farm Arena is Madison Square Garden South. Or ATL. Madison Square Garden South is where the Heat play. I digress.
Oh, man.
Wow.
How long do you get to keep a grudge like this?
Did you see the Michael Jordan doc? 35 years minimum.
At least through November 6th of 2024.
But does it count if the other team cares?
Oh, I think that the Knicks get this. I do.
A lot of those guys, none of those guys are on the team anymore.
That's true. Jalen Brunson wasn't there.
He literally beat a different 12-man roster. By the way, a 12-man roster that's not on any NBA roster, most of those guys.
Okay, well, maybe the Knicks don't care, but the fans do. They were booing, so he said, take your asses home. It's funny.
It's funny. Trae Young.
I'm Jalen Brunson.
It's November NBA. Give us something.
I thought jokes were supposed to be funny.
Oh,
the Knicks aren't winning, so Manny's in a bad mood.
It's not even that. It's just I don't like stupid people.
Oh, man. We're finding Manny's pressure points.
The Cavaliers are not enough.
You weren't this upset when the Yankees lost the World Series.
Hey, the Knicks do something to me.
You were in a Penn State sweatshirt. They just had a terrible loss to Ohio State. You were like, la-di-da.
Those Bockers do something to me.
I can imagine. We're understanding that now. It's a meaningless game in November.
Hey.
You just lost the World
meaningless
Series.
Meaningless to whom? Not this guy.
I love it.
Have a Coors Never Light from your end cap. He's dressed like Spuds McKenzie.
They don't know that reference.
No, they don't.
Who?
Oh, God, you're the worst.
He bogeys is the oldest person here.
No.
Child of big friendly.
I know that one.
Maggie got it.
I got
it. If Perloff was listening, he would have gotten it.
Ryan Kalkbrenner.
Boogie Fland.
I lost you guys at Knicks Hawks. Was that what's going on?
Amazing. That's it. That's all.
I mean, I got more, but.
Save it.
Yeah, why not?
Got lots more
don't
to do.
Don't overwhelm Perloff.
See you guys on the phones. Want to talk about tonight's game. We got the Bengals. We got the Ravens. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got Alabama LSU this weekend. We got Ole Miss Georgia this weekend. Lots to talk about. Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Maggie and Perloff show. I don't know what happened to Maggie. Anyone know where Maggie is? Just kidding around. Anyway, Maggie will be right back. She teased something and I have no idea what it was, but can I tell you what I'm fired up for? Everything good there?
Knicks Hawks, right?
So sorry.
EJ was also gone. But EJ has an excuse. He takes him about 3 minutes to get to the bathroom because he was injured.
He's trying to find Maggie.
No, I'm so sorry. What happened was I'm trying a new thing where I want to start eating oatmeal in the morning as opposed to the bagels that I've been housing.
Yeah.
So I had to go all the way to the cafeteria and get hot water. Got caught in a conversation with somebody. Yada, yada, yada. I'm late.
Anyway. Tonight.
Interesting.
Game of the year. Yeah.
Maggie just looks like she's ran New York Marathon, by the way.
I want to breathe heavily into the microphone and freak everybody out. Sorry, Pearl, if you were saying.
It doesn't matter.
Am I that late?
Just take the call.
We got 30 seconds, probably.
Rich is in Chicago. Hi, Rich.
Hey, I think you guys are on to something about tonight's game. I was going to point this out because I've been an NFL fan and a football follower for a long time, but I've never seen this in my life. The Ravens are number one in run defense in the league and last in pass defense.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen anything like that. They can stop the run and they can't stop the pass. I think this may be the highest scoring game in the history of the NFL tonight when you have the Ravens that can run the ball. They're ranked number one in terms of rushing. And the Bengals can't stop the run, and the Bengals can't run the ball. The Bengals are 29th to 30th in terms of running. And the reason I bring this up, you guys brought up some really good points about the formula has changed. It's gone from being kind of like, let's go after the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. The top six teams in the league in terms of running the ball are the Ravens, Eagles, Commanders, 49ers, Green Bay, and Lions. They're all the top teams in the league that can run the ball. So I'm thinking, hey, Joe Mixon isn't walking through the Cincinnati Bengals door.
No.
They traded for Khalil Herbert.
A reject from the Bears here. Yeah. I mean, come on, that's the best that they can do. And I think that you're early. I think it was Perloff that said, what about trading Burroughs? I've got a great idea.
Yeah.
I would do that tomorrow. Anybody who's played for the Bengals, and I used to live in Cincinnati. I've lived all over. as a corporate guy, but I can tell you, talk to anybody, Collinsworth, anybody that played there, they'll tell you that they don't pay anybody, they don't like the front office, they don't like the ownership. So how about trading Burroughs? This would be the play. Trade Burroughs, and this is going to sound silly until I explain it, but trade him to the Giants or the Saints, and here's why. You're going to get top picks with those two teams who are bottom feeders, and you're going to be able to restock. And Burroughs isn't going to lead the Bengals anywhere as great as he is, because he is a top, maybe top three quarterback. He's wasting his time. He played at LSU. He'd probably love to go back and play for the Saints, and the Giants need a quarterback. I think you got to just start over with the Bengals. But the fun part about tonight, I think it's going to be a 75-point game. I think they'll have 50 at halftime.
Wow.
I mean, you know, they can't. Rich, think about it.
Here's the thing, though.
Stop the pass.
So what we're talking about, and I agree with you, the over-under for this game, I believe, was set at 52.5.
53 right now. But, I mean, remember, we had the Rams Chiefs 54-51, so it's not going to be the highest scoring primetime game, but it should be quite high scoring.
Yes. So I'm seeing, 52.5, 53. They combined for 59 points the last time they played, so you might get it by a comfortable margin there. I wasn't saying that the Bengals are going to trade Joe Burrow. We were talking about the top teams in the AFC for all those top quarterbacks in the AFC, the one most likely to request a trade, demand a trade, what have you, could be Joe Burrow if he feels like the team is not all in on trying to win a Super Bowl and wasting his talent. We saw this with Carson Palmer, and so it's not totally unprecedented that a Bengals quarterback says, get me out of here.
Yeah, I mean, but Palmer had huge beef with the team. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was furious with ownership. I think it was over money or something. I just can't see that happening in Burrow. The other thing, too, like, God, that'd be such a shame if he went to a team like the Giants or the Saints. Because, like, then you're really wasting away. At least he's the best player in football right now, or second best behind Lamar. I think, like, they got a lot going on there in Cincinnati. It's good. It's just now that why would you trade him? That's crazy. Like, you would never volunteer to trade him. Because no. Who could you possibly get in the draft?
And that's not what we were saying. We weren't saying voluntarily trade him. We were talking
about... Yeah, Rich, I think it was being like a fantasy football perspective. Right. Like, being like, you're not going anywhere with this Burrow version, but...
No, but here's the thing, that this is the frustrating part about it. You could understand them having a losing record or being on the fringe of not making the playoffs, which is why tonight is so epically important for them. But... You can understand it in a year when Burrow gets hurt and Jake Browning has to come in, and then you barely make it. And then you think, all right, well, let's not add at the deadline this year because look what happened. Our quarterback's hurt. This is a year he's healthy. He's playing great. This is the time when you do actually go for it.
Yeah.
Making some kind of trades besides Khalil Herbert, the running back. And by the way, they had to do that because Zach Moss is out for the year.
First of all, that's never going to happen. There are never going to be buyers like that, like Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins level. But second of all, you have major financial problems here because you happen to draft really well. Like, what are they going to trade for a contract? Like, how could they have to pay T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson and Jamar Chase? Like,
other teams who have terrible salary like cap situations have made trades at this deadline.
But the same thing with the Cowboys. They have to pay Parsons. Like, they can't bring in a huge contract.
But what about just on the... It doesn't even have to be huge, huge. You're talking about T. Higgins, who's doubtful for tonight's game. You can't bring in a second or a third wide receiver. You can't bring in a body there.
Most of those bodies do not really amount to anything. Most of the... I saw the Times had an article like 90% of wide receiver trades do nothing.
DeAndre Hopkins was a fifth rounder that they traded. This was not like that type of commitment. It's not there. It's not this long-term deal. You're not bringing on, you know, Max Crosby or something like that. We're not talking about that kind of blockbuster. You're basically talking about a Band-Aid to try to help you get through a season.
I don't know why. I don't know why 31. I mean, you're going to rip the Bengals. How about the other 31 teams who didn't try to trade for DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, we're talking about the Bengals 30 teams, right actually. Now.
Well, I'm just saying, like, yeah, you're ripping them. Like, come on, you know that. What? There are a lot of... Why didn't your Bills trade for DeAndre Hopkins? Same exact question.
They trade for Amari Cooper.
Well, right.
They
did something. But DeAndre Hopkins is way better than Amari Cooper.
I think they were probably in on Hopkins too. I just think probably Amari Cooper, it ended up being a better fit. I have no idea.
I don't have
it in
front of me.
But they did something because they looked at the receiver core and they got a look at it through 7 weeks or whatever and said, we don't have enough.
I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm sure the reason the Bengals didn't trade for DeAndre Hopkins is money. I mean, look at them. They're not paying their own guys. They're going to bring in DeAndre Hopkins. Was never going to happen.
Chiefs pay Mahomes. Chiefs are paying Chris Jones. I mean, other teams find ways. 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do, including we give you the biggest thing to look forward to as we hit the second half of the NFL season.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.